Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Ten minutes past 8 o'clock. It's Thursday morning. It is the 8th day of February, 2024. Good morning, everyone. I'm Scott Micklin. Thanks for tuning in to KSJE 90.9 FM right here, broadcasting in San Juan County, New Mexico. In Durango, Colorado, we broadcast all the time at 103.3 FM. And if you're anywhere else outside of those areas and want to tune us in, just go to our website to listen anytime. That's ksje.com. We also want to welcome our viewers who are joining us this morning. The video stream of the program is going out live to the KSJE Facebook page and also to our YouTube channel. So we welcome everyone to the program this morning. A big day coming up. Lots of arts coverage here on KSJE, of course. We start with the San Juan Symphony. We'll be talking with Thomas Heuser in the next few moments about their upcoming concert this weekend in both Durango and Farmington. Stay tuned for that and much more coming up in the next few moments right here on KSJE today. Then an extra segment, of course, on this Thursday morning with Theater Ensemble Arts. They're getting ready to perform their next production right here at San Juan College, as a matter of fact. We'll be talking about that coming up later on around 8:50 a.m. here on KSJE Radio, online, of course, and our video programs as well. Mick Hess is going to take over the studio at 9:06 after the news, our weekday classical music program, Roving with the Arts, coming up today, 9:06 on KSJE. Don't forget, you can also connect with us on X, formerly known as Twitter, or also on our Instagram page. And if you're a podcast person, you can subscribe for free to KSJE Podcasts wherever you listen to podcasts and maybe discover a new local program that you may have missed recently. Podcasts are available on iTunes and Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio Podcast, Google Podcast. The list goes on and on and on. Outside our studios here at San Juan College, it is currently 34 degrees at the moment. We are expecting a day with rain and snow showers for the most part today. The high 46 in Farmington. Then tonight, take a look. Another 70% chance of rain or snow showers with a low of 26 degrees. On Friday, partly sunny skies, 39 for a high. Then again, Friday night, 50% chance of snow showers with a low of 26. And on Saturday, again, a 70% chance of rain and snow with a high of 39 degrees and a low of 25 before sunshine returns on Sunday with a high of 40 degrees. I'll be back with my guest, Thomas Heuser, from the San Juan Symphony right after this on KSJE. KSJE is supported by San Juan Regional Medical Center. The caregivers of San Juan Regional Medical Center are committed to bettering the quality of life, health, and care of individuals, families, and our communities. Life is their sacred trust. Better is their mission. Here is their home. San Juan Regional Medical Center, improving the health of the Four Corners since 1910.
And back in Studio A this morning, and my guest, of course, Thomas Heuser from the San Juan Symphony, joining us remotely today. Always good to see him. Of course, he has a busy week because he has concerts coming up this weekend. So thanks for making some time for us this morning, Thomas. Good morning.
Good morning, Scott. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Great to see you. A busy week, as I said, right? I mean, you've got rehearsals, and I don't know what else is on your schedule besides this.
It's a very busy weekend for us. The third subscription concert of our 38th season, New Horizons. This concert we're calling Passionate. Lots of great music in store for our listeners in Durango and Farmington. We're just so excited, Scott, to have the opportunity to keep performing and bringing these wonderful musicians together in the service of this great music, come what weather may.
So right.
We're looking forward to a busy weekend. Absolutely.
Very true. But hopefully all of your musicians are in town and in place and ready for the weekend, right?
Yeah, they're coming in today from all over. You know,
okay,
it's one of the
okay.
most unique things about our San Juan Symphony is we really do represent all of the Four Corners, musicians from Utah, Arizona, Colorado, and New Mexico, coming in from really all over the place. And actually, we've extended into even further east, Texas and Kansas. So musicians traveling quite a long ways to be with us this weekend.
Very good. In addition, of course, to the great local musicians that are also featured in the symphony, of course. And again, full disclosure, I am still a member of the board of directors of the San Juan Symphony, proud to be there and happy that they keep me around for whatever reason. But it's a great organization, and we're proud to be able to support it the way we can. Thomas,
oh my gosh, Scott, you've done so much over the years, so much service. Thank you for that. And yes, it's true. All of our local musicians, local board members, it's truly a wonderful organization. There's so many great people taking part. And again, when audiences hear about this, hopefully they know that coming to the San Juan Symphony is something that happens in their local communities, affordably priced, but this is an opportunity that you do not want to miss.
Very true, very true. You mentioned the name of the concert, Passionate, of course, on February 10th and 11th. Of course, the concerts will be Saturday evening at Fort Lewis College, the Community Concert Hall in Durango, and in Farmington on Sunday, February 11th, but at a special time, and that is in deference to some other event going on Sunday. I don't know if you've heard about it, Thomas, but there's something going on nationally. I'm not sure if you heard.
Some sort of football game.
Some sporting event, yes. That's right, yes.
Yes. Well, that's right. Yeah, 1 p.m. on Sunday to accommodate the Super Bowl kickoff. So hopefully people can have a very busy Sunday. And you're right, this concert, Passionate, coming up that we're presenting in both Durango and Farmington, has so much energy and excitement. And one of the great features of this program is the side-by-side component. Every year we try to include some young people among the musicians of the San Juan Symphony. And this year is no exception. We have about 12 or 13 people, young students who auditioned to perform the first half of the concert with the symphony. That's a very special thing for us in the orchestra. These young people really inspire us and motivate us to sit up straight and play our best. And I'm telling you, they come in with so much energy, and they really inspire us to do our best. So that's a special feature of this weekend's concerts.
Wonderful. Even more local faces on the stage for this weekend's concerts. And I can't imagine the thrill that these students must get to be able to rehearse and then play alongside these professional musicians.
Absolutely. And you hit the nail on the head, because the rehearsals in some way are the most important part of the experience for all of us. I mean, it's our chance to really dig into the details of the score and have some discussions about the interpretation. And then, of course, when we're performing, it's really for the public. But the rehearsals are for us. They're really our educational opportunities. So that's very special. And over and above just the experience of performing, in this particular concert, our students are being exposed to some diverse composers, some voices that they may not have gotten to know before now. The concert opens with the music of Samuel Coleridge Taylor. I've sort of moved the program around from its original incarnation. We're going to begin with Samuel Coleridge Taylor, who is a Sierra Leone British composer. He has a very unique story. His father was a black medical doctor who had an English mother. And so he's of mixed race heritage. And that was, of course, a big deal in the 19th century. He got his start in England at the Royal College of Music and was immediately understood to be a wonderful musical prodigy. And the ballade that we're performing is a piece of music that he wrote when he was just 21 years old. It's a very powerful symphonic movement, just a standalone movement, kind of like a symphonic poem, that begins with a very turbulent and energetic musical rhythm. It has a kind of angst to it and a ferocity almost that paves the way for a beautiful lyrical middle section. This is rivaling Tchaikovsky and Mahler and others who also had this great sense of romantic lyricism. And a ballade is a little bit like our ballads of today. It's a longer form, more introspective and personal, highly romantic music. And again, playing the music of Samuel Coleridge Taylor is probably a first time for some of our students. I know it is for many of the musicians and the orchestra as well. So that's a special feature. And then we move into a piece for strings and percussion only by Jared Impachaha Tate, who is a citizen of the Chickasaw Nation in Oklahoma and lives in Tulsa. He is really coming onto the main stage. He's in his 50s, a living composer. We've had some wonderful conversations about his music over Zoom that our audiences can watch on our YouTube page for San Juan Symphony. But Jared's music here is called a chokfi, which is the Chickasaw word for rabbit. And the rabbit is a kind of a trickster character of legend in the Chickasaw tradition. And the piece was commissioned by the Oklahoma Youth Orchestras in 2018. So it's appropriate for this side-by-side opportunity with our students. It's a piece that's being played by professional orchestras across the country though. So don't let it fool you. It's not exactly a walk in the park, but it's a short piece. And it is this kind of character sketch of the trickster character. And as Jared describes it, you know, he is both diabolical and sort of mischievous, but also, you know, a loving character and one who still has all kinds of different aspects of his personality to flesh out. And so you have this wonderful character sketch of the rabbit on the first half. Again, Jared is fascinated by the interpolation and the integration of traditional indigenous melodies with these classical forms and classical orchestral settings, and that's really become his mission. He is truly motivated and having great success with that integration of the two cultures. He's a wonderful composer, just wonderful to talk to, and our audiences may remember that our San Juan Symphony String Quartet on our most recent chamber music concert did perform music of Jared Tate as well, his Pisachi for String Quartet. So we've had a wonderful relationship with Jared this semester and just really looking forward to giving the students an opportunity to, again, perform music by a living composer and something that really treats their instruments in new ways.
Very interesting. And Thomas, I want to ask you too about, you know, your decisions about programming, of course, with the symphony and maybe presenting some of these, and I don't want to say lesser known composers, but certainly maybe not as well known as the third composer on your selection for this concert. But how important is that to maybe expose local audiences to these sounds and these compositions and some of these things that we're talking about this morning?
Sure. I think it's incredibly important. You know, the symphony has an important mission to keep the arts of the past alive, but we also really are in need of diversification in our programming and what we present. And thankfully, you and others on our board are very much behind me in that goal of creating an opportunity for audiences to hear the music that they know and love, but to also be introduced to voices and perspectives and styles that might be new to them. And the thing for me is that the music that we present, because we have such limited time to present it, should always be something that is beautiful, interesting, worth the time. And this music is very, very worth our time, even though it's something that might be new and unfamiliar. So I'm always looking for that, Scott, looking for that diversification. Orchestras around the country are focused on this right now. It's incredibly important to make the offerings of an arts culture institution different and new, as it's 2024 now. Happy New Year to everybody. Again, I think this is very important right now. And as you mentioned, Antonin Dvorak's music, much more familiar, but still, you know, I think that we want to try to draw comparisons and parallels and connect the music of today with the great music of the past.
Right. Well, and to use a term that I first heard from you, Thomas Heuser, this music is babysitter worthy, would you say?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I say that to our young families in the audience. You know, the San Juan Symphony takes all walks of life. Come as you are. There's no dress code. But I know for young families, this is a tricky thing to coordinate childcare and make it a night on the town, an afternoon on the town in the case of our Farmington concerts. But there is no age limit either. You can bring your families and be a part of this. Or if it's an opportunity for you to get get a babysitter, come experience something special. We encourage that as well. It is babysitter worthy. Thank you, Scott. Absolutely.
You bet. Very good. And again, just one final note on these two selections and the fact that, you know, we have music from a living composer. I think maybe falsely a lot of folks think about the symphony and classical music as performing works from composers who are long gone. And this is an opportunity, I think, to show that the genre is still alive and well and flourishing and creating new sounds, as you have said, that you want to share with our audiences.
Exactly. And, you know, the beauty here is that having a living composer like Jared Tate means that we can talk to him. We can ask him questions about his music. And it's been so fun to be able to do that and have our conversation about Chokfi. And in fact, we had some great questions provided by students from Navajo Preparatory there in Farmington. They were curious about his career as a composer. How did he get started? He explained that he was a classical pianist, went to Northwestern University and then the Cleveland Institute of Music as a piano player, went on to perform with Les Miserables on a touring Broadway production. So he has in his background not just the music of his indigenous culture, but also music of Beethoven and Prokofiev and Tchaikovsky as a piano player, Broadway music, ballet music. And so he represents this kind of modern day Renaissance man integrating all of these musical styles, and that's what we get to sort of bring out of the music, are all of these influences and draw the comparisons and parallels between his music, Samuel Coleridge Taylor's, and absolutely Dvorak's as well. So you're right, living composers, incredibly important that we have these connections and draw all of the comparisons.
Very good. Well, and I want to talk about the Dvorak Symphony No. 7 that is also featured in this weekend's concert, and we have actually a few selections. I'm sad to say we don't have any music from the other two composers on the program this weekend, but we did have some Dvorak that I wanted to get ready to maybe play a little bit of these movements and have you talk a bit about the selection and what we should be listening for during the concert. I know you do that a lot, too, with some of your presentations the week of the concert and right beforehand at both Farmington and Durango.
Very true. Yes, last night we had our Musically Speaking lecture series in Durango that is now videotaped and will be available again on our YouTube page after the fact, where I have a longer format where I can play some musical examples. But then 1 hour before our concerts in Farmington and Durango, I'll give another short presentation about the history just to get people's minds ready to absorb the music as much as possible. A couple of coat racks to hang the music on as it goes flying by. So I'm grateful to have a chance to listen to some Dvorak this morning. Dvorak is a Czech composer, born in the 19th century from very humble origins. He was the first of nine children, but really was shown to be a musical genius at a very young age, even though he was supposed to take over the family business of being a butcher at an inn. That never happened because he went on to great musical success. Still, though, not necessarily financially able to be independent of some of his work as an organist, a viola player with some civic orchestras, teaching piano lessons. He was very, you know, sort of practical in his musical skills, but went eventually in his teens and early 20s into some very substantial compositions. He has hundreds of published works for chamber music, orchestra, songs, piano music, and his real claim to fame, much like Jared Tate and Samuel Coleridge Taylor, was the integration of folk music of his native country into these classical compositions. So I'm thinking of his Slavonic string quartet, the Slavonic dances for piano four hands, and just this idea that he was taking folk music and creating classical compositions that had them as their inspiration and in many cases their melodic and structural basis. That's absolutely true for Jared Tate as well. And Samuel Coleridge, again, inheriting what he did from his father on the Sierra Leone African side. He wrote variations on African themes and suites of African melodies and the like. So all of these composers were fascinated by how to get these particular voices into the classical realm. In the case of Dvorak, by the time he wrote his seventh symphony, of course, there were six wonderful symphonies preceding it, but he was very well known and established by this point in the 1880s. And he was very much inspired by Johannes Brahms, and Brahms's third symphony had just come out. And so Dvorak has the music of Brahms in his ear. And the commission came for the seventh symphony from London, actually. He was living in Prague at the time, but London was the epicenter of a lot of musical activity, and the London Philharmonic Society was also the orchestra that commissioned Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, very pivotal work of art from the 19th century. So Dvorak, when he got this commission for his Seventh Symphony, was inspired to do something very big and very bold and very serious. And the seriousness is part of what inspired my title for this concert, Passionate. The Symphony number 7 of Dvorak is in the key of D minor, a very serious key. I'm sure Mick Hess talks about this all the time on his radio program about the different keys and the relationship that composers had to them. But again, Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, also D minor, Mozart's Requiem, D minor, these very serious works. So he set out in the symphony to do something very serious. And that's clear right out of the gates. It's very elaborate, brooding, intense music of Dvorak all the way through the very tumultuous first movement and the lyrical second movement. Slow, passionate, lots of intensity. The brooding kind of harmonies persist, even though there's little glimmers of daylight and some more melodically beautiful things. It, by and large, has this stormy mood. That sets us up, I think, Scott, for listening to a little bit of the third movement of the symphony, which I think is one of the most interesting of all of his symphonic movements. It is a scherzo, which was typical of the 19th century symphony. So it has a kind of a dance-like quality. The listeners might think of it as a kind of a waltz sound. But in and among that waltz rhythm are incredible contrasts and outbursts that are sort of arrhythmical, that go against the overall feeling of the musical meter. And so you have this jarring, again, intensity that persists through this movement in a wonderful way. And it's, again, as with all of Dvorak's music, perfectly written for the orchestra, capitalizing on the strings in a major way, really focusing in on how to make these percussive kind of effects come through in the string writing. So a little bit, if we can, of the scherzo from Dvorak Symphony number 7.
Let's listen. Thank you, Thomas.
Thank you.
A little sampling there of Antonin Dvorak on KSJE this morning. And there is a lot going on there, Thomas Heuser, as you described. And gosh, I want to listen to the whole thing, but I guess I'll be able to at the concert this weekend, right?
Concert, but you can tell there it's so many contrasts of mood, highs and lows, always so romantic, Dvorak's music. And one of the things I love there are those trills that come out. It's a very Dvorak gesture. These very exciting, so much energy coming through in the music. So I think the orchestra will bring that out. And maybe if we have time, just a little bit now from the finale here, the fourth movement of the Seventh Symphony. It is a true tour de force, kind of an epic saga from start to finish, this finale. It has this sort of like a heroic kind of a character to it, where it feels almost like Dvorak is the protagonist struggling against great odds, and there's this intensity to it that persists in an almost, at times, kind of violent way. But again, I think a lot of that is just because he's taking this key of D minor and the intensity that he wants to get and putting the orchestra through the ringer. It's so exciting to see, and that's where we hope audiences can translate this radio program into the live concert this Saturday and Sunday, because when you see an orchestra perform something like the finale of Dvorak 7, it's a physical feat as much as a musical experience. So this is just a teaser of the finale from Dvorak 7.
Very true. And we'll have to leave it there, Thomas Heuser. I hate to fade it out. It should be illegal to do that. But thank you for sharing this great music this morning. And, of course, we'll hear the full symphony this weekend, Saturday evening at Fort Lewis College in Durango, and the special time Sunday afternoon right before that big sporting event game. So at 1 o'clock here at the Henderson Fine Arts Center at San Juan College, to give folks plenty of time to get sat in front of the television for whatever's going on later on Sunday.
Whatever it is going on, nothing really compares to the symphony experience. So we'll let that other thing be. But we wanted to make sure that everyone could do everything. And Scott, there's so much going on. I'm so grateful for the chance to speak to your listeners here in KSJE. This concert, Passionate, is going to be one that we do not want to miss. All of that information is at sanjuansymphony.org. Tickets for the two events are at the various respective concert halls, at the community concert hall, as well as the Henderson Performance Hall there at San Juan College. So looking forward to seeing everyone this weekend. And of course, there's even more music on deck, Scott.
Very true. The rest of the season, of course, is still to come, right? Another subscription concert in April, but of course a lot more in between with a lot of the additional offerings from the San Juan Symphony, which the website is full of events and things to check out.
It's very exciting. We just got our new printed proof, printed program back, and it has this whole spring semester. It is very full. Coming up in March, of course, is the Durango Bach Festival, which we're thrilled to be presenting now for the first time. Performers locally, students, as well as a special collaboration with a contemporary dance company in Durango that's reimagining some music of J.S. Bach. That's coming up the first week of March. Then in April, we have a program devoted exclusively to Dvorak. This is one of the Third Avenue Arts recital series that I'll be curating with, again, a number of local musicians to explore The Life and Music of Dvorak. And then our final concert, the symphony program in April, is called Enigmatic, and it features the Enigma Variations of Edward Elgar, as well as a brand new, hot off the press piece of music by the Brazilian-American composer Clarice Assad that features pianist Ina Felix, who will be returning to the San Juan Symphony for this program in April. So that's just a little bit of a sample. Again, all of it's laid out at sanjuansymphony.org. And we're thrilled, Scott, to have this expanded offerings now. It's the Symphony Plus.
No kidding.
Lots of things happening.
Very true. Very true. Well, Thomas, I can't thank you enough for spending some time with me this morning and our audiences. We really appreciate it. I know it's a busy week for you. Look forward to seeing you at the concert hall this weekend. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Scott.
You bet. That's Thomas Heuser, the music director of the San Juan Symphony, my guest here on KSJE. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.